Ray had been sitting in the stands with the judge, anxious as everyone else about the game. "Where's Forrest?" folks began asking during pregame. When the coin was tossed, he was in the city jail getting fingerprinted and photographed. They found 14 ounces of marijuana in his car. He spent 2 years in a juvenile facility and was released on his 18th birthday. How does the 16-year-old son of a prominent judge become a dope pusher in a small southern town with no history of drugs? Ray and his father had asked each other that question 1,000 times. Only Forrest knew the answer, and long ago he had made the decision to keep it to himself. Ray was thankful that he buried most of his secrets. After a nice nap, Forrest jolted himself awake and announced he needed something to drink. "No," Ray said. "A soft drink, I swear." They stopped at a country store and bought sodas. For breakfast, Forrest had a bag of peanuts. "Some of these places have good food," he said when they were moving again. Forrest, the tour guide for detox centers. Forrest, the Michelin critic for rehab units. "I usually lose a few pounds," he said, chomping. "Do they have gyms and such?" Ray asked, aiding the conversation. He really didn't want to discuss the perks of various drug tanks.
"Some do," Forrest said smugly. "Ellie sent me to this place in Florida near a beach. Lots of sand and water. Lots of sad, rich folks. 3 days of brainwashing, then they worked our asses off. Hikes, bikes, power walks, weights if we wanted. I got a great tan and dropped 15 pounds. Stayed clean for 8 months.
In his sad little life, everything was measured by stints of sobriety. "Ellie sent you?" Ray asked.
"Yeah, it was years ago. She had a little dough at one point, not much. I'd hit the bottom, and it was back when she cared. It was a nice place, though, and some of the counselors were those Florida chicks with short skirts and long legs.
I'll have to check it out.
Kiss my ass. Just kidding. There's this place out west where all the stars go, the Hacienda, and it's the Ritz. Plush rooms, spas, daily massages, chefs who can fix great meals at 1,000 calories a day. And the counselors are the best in the world. That's what I need, bro. 6 months at the Hacienda."
"Why 6 months?"
"Because I need 6 months. I've tried 2 months, 1 month, 3 weeks, 2 weeks. It's not enough. For me, it's 6 months of total lockdown, total brainwashing, total therapy, plus my own masseuse."
"What's the cost?"
Forrest whistled and rolled his eyes. "Pick a number, I don't know. You gotta have $1 zillion and 2 recommendations to get in. Imagine that, a letter of recommendation. To the fine folks at the Hacienda, I hereby heartily recommend my friend Doofus Smith as a patient in your wonderful facility. Doofus drinks vodka for breakfast, snorts coke for lunch, snacks on heroin, and is usually comatose by dinner. His brain is fried, his veins are lacerated, his liver is shot to hell. Doofus is your kind of person, and his old man owns Idaho."
"Do they keep people for 6 months?"
"You're clueless, aren't you?"
"I guess.
A lot of cokeheads need a year, even more for heroin addicts."
"And which is your current poison?" Ray wanted to ask, but then he didn't want to. "A year," he said.
"Yep, total lockdown. And then the addict has to do it himself. I know guys who've been to prison for 3 years with no coke, no crack, no drugs at all. And when they were released, they call their dealer before they call their wives or girlfriends."
"What happens to them?"
"It's not pretty."
He threw the last of the peanuts into his mouth, slapped his hands together, and sent salt flying. There were no signs directing traffic to Alcorn Village. They followed Oscar's directions until they were certain they were lost deep in the hills, then saw a gate in the distance. Down a tree-lined drive, a complex spread before them. It was peaceful and secluded, and Forrest gave it good marks for first impressions. Oscar Meave arrived in the lobby of the administration building and guided them to an intake office where he handled the initial paperwork himself. He was a counselor, an administrator, a psychologist, an ex-addict who'd cleaned himself up years ago and received 2 PhDs. He wore jeans, a sweatshirt, sneakers, a goatee, and 2 earrings, and had the wrinkles and chipped tooth of a rough prior life. But his voice was soft and friendly. He exuded the tough compassion of one who'd been where Forrest was now. The cost was $325 a day, and Oscar was recommending a minimum of 4 weeks.
After that, we'll see where he is. I'll need to ask some pretty rough questions about what Forrest has been doing.
I don't want to hear that conversation, Ray said.
You won't, Forrest said.
He was resigned to the flogging that was coming.
And we require half the money up front, Oscar said. The other half before his treatment is complete.
Ray flinched and tried to remember the balance in his checking account back in Virginia. He had plenty of cash, but this was not the time to use it.
The money's coming out of my father's estate, Forrest said. It might take a few days.
Oscar was shaking his head.
No exceptions. Our policy is half now.
No problem, said Ray. I'll write a check for it.
I want it to come out of the estate, Forrest said. You're not paying for it.
The estate can reimburse me. It'll work. Ray wasn't sure how it would work, but he'd let Harry Rex worry about that. He signed the forms as guarantor of payment. Forrest signed at the bottom of a page, listing all the do's and don'ts.
You can't leave for 28 days, Oscar said. If you do, you forfeit all monies paid and you're never welcome back. Understand?
I understand, Forrest said. How many times had he been through this?
You're here because you want to be here, right?
Right.
And no one is forcing you.
No one. Now that the flogging was on, it was time for Ray to leave. He thanked Oscar and hugged Forrest and sped away much faster than he had arrived.